just before that, so the first thing we say is,
all the practicals and everything, and then, no, you haven't got it. What would happen, if a student comes in, and says, I haven't got my prereq. And they say, well, tell you what you need to do, you are black. Tell you what you need to do. We will treat you as if you've got your prereq. He says, it's not altogether a fool. He says, yes, but you know, I haven't got them. So yes, we do really haven't got them. But what we will call you is, we will call you, have you pardoned? We'll call you an extraordinary case medical student. Extraordinary case medical student, and we're letting you in. He passes his exams and he gets his MD. So, yes, you've got your MD, but now you are an extraordinary case MD. Because we haven't got the powers of the rules. All we can say is that you are an extraordinary case MD.
Does that mean he has to be licensed by the state like any other? Where did the
All we can say, you're an extraordinary case MD. That's what we can say. Until you pass all your pre-medicals in, but until then you're an extraordinary case MD. Another new principal comes along, he says, no, look here. We're accepting him as an external ordinary case MD. Let us work it this way. Let us say we regard him as if he had his pre-medicals. And since now he gets his final degree, we'll say he's not an extraordinary case MD, he's a proper MD. Can you see how it can work? More or less, I've got to go much more deeply into it than that, but just to give you some kind of an idea of how it is. That is what the Chachomim say. The Chachomim say to you, you can work with law in exactly the same way. Do you need any qualifications to give you law?
A BA.
He gets in without a BA or a BS. Same thing. It works out the same thing. So that is what Tosfos says. And that is the problem of this. Tosfos asks the question, he says, but still, you only give it to him from the Rabbon, and how can it be? And but you'll only get to know it when you really struggle on it on your own. The Imtomer asks Tosfos, hey, he have gave me the Rabbon. So, you say that he is a gave me the Rabbon. That is the first answer. The Sharina Leva Bas Yisroel, and yet we permit him to marry a Bas Yisroel. The Kiddush of Kiddushin, and his Kiddushin is Kiddushin. Hovina Torah Ovid Klochovim, but from the Torah he is not. The Yeshlomar answers Tosfos, the Kesova Commander Omer Bo Isho Rabba, the Yeshkoch Biyab Chachomim Lato, Jovah Mina Torah, Bakum Vaasei. He says, it is possible that one can have that there is a view that the Chachomim can, how far the Chachomim can go. Everybody agrees that the Chachomim, the Sheva Alter, Tasek, that the Chachomim can say where there is a law of the Torah, the Chachomim can say, listen, we don't want you to do this. Under the present circumstances, we don't want you to do it. Although it's the law of the Torah that you must do it, but we don't want you to do it. Therefore, sit and do nothing. Just don't do nothing. But for them to say, the Kumba say, the law of the Torah is that you mustn't do it and we want you to go and do it, that they can't do it. There is a view in the Gemara that the Chachomim have got even that right. That they can actually say that under these circumstances we want you to do that, the Kumba say. So the Gemara says that the Chachomim have got the right, although it is his Ageir Midra Bonon, they've got the right to say that his marriage is an absolutely full marriage. And we can make it a marriage midoraisa.
It's only a question before he is, while he's still a kohen.
While he's still a kohen. While he's still a kohen. Now that is as far as I'm going to take this test, but I don't want to take it any further, because we've spent a lot of time doing these things there, and I've got to discuss a number of other things with you. I've still got to discuss a little bit more about shlichus, about yad, and about chotze, and about other matters that have to do with it, in order to give you a clear picture of it. But I must, next week, I've already got to start that next Mishnah. I can't spend more than that time on it. So please, next week, no Emir Tashem, no philosophy, we go straight on to the halacha. You save the philosophy at the end of the shiur, we'll be able to discuss that. But I want you to get that. The main thing that you've got to know is the question. How can there be Zochin the Odom Shalom Befono? He is a cotton, and the whole idea of Zochin the Odom Shalom Befono is Shlichus, and he can't be a comic. And the second point, in any case, he's a Goyim, he can't be. So we say, yes, but the Chachomim, since he's potentially he will fall into Shlichus. Therefore, the Chachomim gave him the right to appoint, and as far as the Goy is concerned, the same working, since he is going to become, therefore they gave him that power. And another is, since that with this very act he's going to become a Jew, so with this very act, therefore, therefore he becomes a Jew Midoraisa. So they give him the means to become a Jew Midoraisa. Because of this very act that is going to happen, with this here, he's going to become a Jew, so they say, therefore he becomes a Jew Midoraisa. So we've got two possibilities, the one that he's only a gay of Midrabonon, and the second view of Tosfos is that it's actually a Gaius Midoraisa, and it's that you dare leave it on that note. And from there we'll take it further next time.
We haven't finished the Gemara on this.
Are we gone?
I don't believe we finished the Gemara on this
week. No.
No. And I wanted to ask this week rather than next week, only because next week I have a hunch we won't have time for this, is we reach a point in the Gemara where we say, and what happens if this woman, who we have said is entitled to this ketubah of 200, now she renounces it when she gets older? This is the year. When she reaches her majority, she says, okay, I want a divorce.
No.
Or, yes,
she's thinking about where the divorce took place.
Right, and she got the full 200. And
when did she get the full 200?
At divorce.
No, the Gemara says that we don't give it to her. The Gemara asks the question.
Hold it.
The Gemara says that it works out that a girl can get.
Okay, I'm speaking on that question to which you are speaking on the answer of.
Yes.
Says, and what happens if
yes
this girl
gets a divorce, and we give her the 200, and then she goes out and she starts eating treif or whatever.
Yes.
Okay, there's, the phrasing used there is, I think it's the Osla, the Okla.
The Osla, the Okla, the Ge Yusuf.
Which is?
She goes and she eats it as a Goya.
Okay, why...
She goes and she eats up the money, it means.
Yes,
she
why do we use that phrasing? Eat up the money. Why?
She uses the money to phrase.
That's a common phrase?
Yes. She goes and she eats up the money, and it's used in English too.
He has a problem.
Yeah, I guess. I know, but what I'm wondering is why don't we say she goes and she does...
No, that's just a...
Okay. Fine.
It's a Afelgab. What does Afelgab mean?
You know, the back.
Although, literally it means a nose on top of the back. It's an expression. It's an expression. Right. I just want to explain some other things to you. We can sit back a little bit apropos of what we discussed before in the question that George raised. And I told you that an animal is different from a human being. An animal, when the young reaches a certain age, the mother doesn't want to have any more. It does on its own. And that's the last the mother wants to have anything to do with that animal. Nothing anymore. The human being, children, the Gemara discusses Bnei Bonim Kneva Kabonim, that grandchildren are also like children. Goes on. It's a different thing. I want to ask you another question. Many years ago, question of taking out for myself an insurance policy, a life policy. I was very inexperienced, and they asked me to come to the office of the Sun Life. Have you ever heard of the Sun Life?
Yes.
I'm going to go to the huge building. They've got 5 floors in this building, about 40, 50 floors. They've got about 5 floors. I go, show me the room of an agent, and he starts putting papers in front of me, questionnaires. So I fill in my name, my age, the names of my parents. But I can take all that. What diseases I've had, what diseases I've had, I can take all that. I've got to put in, are my parents alive? Are my grandparents alive? Paternal testament. Names, paternal testament. How long, if your father is alive, how old is he? If your mother is alive, how old is she? If they're not alive, how old is that then? Your grandparents, paternal, are they alive, not alive, how long did they live, it's given the ages and everything. So what is all this for? So he says to me, well, we've got to know. So what have you got to know? What's got to do with, I'm taking out for my life, not for them. I say, well, then if they lived a long time, then you're going to live a long time. And I said, if they didn't live a long time, then you won't live a long time. I said, what do you mean? What do you mean? Is it dependent on that? I live as long as the Rabbanic Lane wants me to live. He says, no.
as a dukkha. Please, let me speak to the manager. The manager was a member of my congregation. Oh, cut him down. I said, Mr. Manager, what is all this about? What they want to ask me. He says, yes, that's true. If your parents and your grandparents lived long, then you also, you're a good case. So I called him and said, what's a good case, is it? He said, this is a business. This is a business. He said, tell me the truth. How long did your father live? 8 years. Your mother? 8 years. He said, and your grandparents? Oh my. Paternal grandfather, I know, was in his late 90s. Some people say he was over 100. And the grandmother also, and your mother's side. I said, my grandmother, I always thought she must have been 110, 120, but they say she was in her late 90s. You think you're a wonderful case? What do you mean you're wonderful? You see this building? I said, yes. It belongs to us. How many floors do we need? 5 floors. The whole building belongs to us. Points out that you see that building? I said, that building also belongs to us. I said, what do you need that building for? You can't build this building. I said, we've got to have somewhere to do something to do with our money. I said, where do you get so much money from? I said, oh, from you. People like you who live a long time. How do you know I'm going to live a long time? Your parents, your grandparents are going to live a long time. So I can't understand this. I know that I'll live as long as the Danish fellow wants me to live. Not as long as my parents live. It's not determined by that. He said, you know, you see, you're making a very big mistake. You want us to run our business on terminal. We run our business on statistics. I said, but which is reality, which is truth? And he says, the statistics, that's reality. That building, do you think it's on Torah? We got that building. This building, do you think we got it from Torah? We got it from statistics. So I've got to think over this. Have you ever worried about that? So where is the Torah? Where is religion? So it means I can be a beast of a man, but if my parents live long, I'll also live long. Where does Hashem come into? Has that ever worried you?
They usually never made the full connection.
Are we pardon?
They usually don't have access to their information.
Well, in South Africa, they wanted to have all that information.
I think it's a very good question. I never made the connection.
Didn't you ever ask yourself?
I never looked at the statistics policies of life insurance companies and then said, where does the Rebbeinu Shlomo
come in? Where does the Rebbeinu Shlomo come into this? And it never worried you.
Well, maybe not in this physical life.
But let me give you other examples. Let me give you another example. I was never very good at it. But there are some people who are very good at it. They could do certain things and they could get certain places where I couldn't get. Is that fair? Is that fair? I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's fair. I had a cousin. He was very good.
He was about 4 or 5 years my senior. He was really, really good. Once in the playground of our school, it was one of these very, very fine schools. We were in the playground, and there was my cousin, and next to him, cousin was Abe Kerber. Next to him was a little fellow, Abe Sachs, short, ginger hair, carrot ginger, really red hair. And he looked up at Abe Kerber, and he said, Abe Sachs is to Abe Kerber. He said, Abe, with your physique and my cheek, we could conquer the world. I had a friend with me, Joe Levine, now in New York at the Rockefeller Center. Rockefeller Institute, was it called, in the Mexico. He was really clever. What he could do in 3 hours used to take me a week. He was really clever. What he understood and grasped in a moment took me 3 hours. Really clever. Is this fair? But it's worse than that. His father was very clever. What his father could do in 3 hours, it took my father 3 weeks. What his father was able to understand in a flash, my father took 3 hours. So it goes right back. Abe Kerber was very handsome. His father was very handsome. So where is it? So where does my... What am I here? Where do I come into all this? Don't these things worry you at all?
Not really.
We'll even smoke with my speaking about it. Then you've got that problem.
Where is it? It doesn't worry me from the standpoint of that. Whereas one person.
If
has
a person. What worries me is, if a person's got brains because his parents have got brains, so where does the brain showing come into it all?
But the lives are not the same.
Hmm?
The lives are completely different.
But yeah, he's got brains he gets from his parents, his physique he gets from his parents, his longevity he gets from his parents, his money he gets from his parents.
That's all very nice, but his spirit he has to develop himself. And I don't know, my perception is in business, and people who are successful in business have to have it somehow consistent in their spirit that they push to achieve that. And people are going to live lives where they're going to feel comfortable in their skin. Their spirit's got to be settled, regardless of the physique or the brain.
You know, it's homiletics, and not very good homiletics. So homiletics is not to...
Father wasn't very good at it either.
That's why it was a businessman.
Now these things many years ago worried me very much. Milton, doesn't it worry you?
I thought of it. In fact, it's one of the things that I thought of for a long time. I said, why did Hashem give me everything I have? I said, aside from the things I don't have, okay, because instead of looking at it and saying,
You don't know what you've done for me tonight by making that observation. Because people think of Hashem when things go wrong. But to think of Hashem when things go right, that is character. To ask why people ask, they have been beasts all their lives, and then something goes wrong. Why Hashem doesn't have done this to me? They've never thought about you, never spoke. Why has Hashem done this to me? Why has he done this to me? And when things were so wonderful, why didn't he ask, why has Hashem done this to me? Do I deserve it? What have I done to deserve it? You're absolutely right. It's a very good question. But I'm dealing only with these things. If hereditary plays such an important part, then where does the free determination of will, the work of man, be? What you say, there's a lot in it, but
it's incomplete.
It is incomplete, that's a very good word. Not only is it incomplete, we've got to have our source. So when I hear a thing like that, then I've got to start searching. Where do I search?
Torah.
I've got to find somewhere in the Torah that it at least speaks about that. And if I can find in the Torah where it speaks about that, then I've got something that I can work on.
Rabbi, you said something a few weeks ago about Boaz and Ruth and what was the mother's name?
No,
about creating a characteristic that goes on.
Very good. Very good. Right.
That's in a family. That
very good. But still he doesn't answer our question. That life longevity depends on my parents. So what I want to discuss with you, of course there's no time to discuss it now, I want to discuss this problem because it is a continuation of what I discussed with you last week. When I spoke by Yitzhak Hashem Elokim Esodom Ofer Mina Adomo by Yipach Vapov Nishmat Chayim, this is a continuation. And if he is breathing to us the breath of life, we've got a chelik l'kamim. So where do we stand? Where do we stand? What are we supposed to do with this? It has to do with that. So there isn't time for it now. You know why there isn't time for it now? Why is this year over?
We have a philosophy to
work. Because we have to be discussing other things. But look here. I think that the idea of this shield is that these things have got to be discussed. They've got to be discussed. You made the marketing master because they understand these things. Because they come up over and over again, and you've got to, for yourself, you've got to know what it is. I'm not worried about being able to answer other people, for myself, what it's got in there.
I just want to say for myself that I particularly found it very fascinating to understand the fundamental relationship between a mother and a child and a father and a child.
You didn't know that, didn't you know that a bit?
Well,
that the mother is hereditary and the father is environmental.
It's a question of having it consciously formulated. It's not as had you ever asked him, he would have said, yes, of course that's so, just like you recognized it as you said it, I'm sure.
Well, that's very interesting to me. It's very interesting to me. But I'm interested in it only from the point of view of the Torah I'm interested in. And part of the work that I'm doing with you is to train you that when you see something, to have a Torah attitude and a Torah approach to it. And then the whole thing gets meaning and it's into a it fits into a whole world, you see. It has meaning, then you've got understanding, then otherwise you haven't got any understanding, any meaning. But please, you must promise me one thing, that when I speak to you about these things, no despondency, should be the exact reverse of despondency. But you must watch that. No despondency in this. You know, in the material world, if one puts an effort into it, what one can achieve. is the peril of it in the world of Ruchnius, in the spiritual world. But in the spirit, much greater in the spiritual world, much more can be achieved in the spiritual world than in the physical world. Much more. But no idea what can be achieved. And we are dealing yet, people, it's not lost. It's not destroyed. Got it. I just want to make a note of the people whom I have in the shiur today. I think I've got everybody down. If there's anybody here whose name I haven't got, just Daniel Levin, Avrom Zepke, David Altshuler, Stuart Levine, David Collins, Mark Abram, Philip Miller, Saul Galuth, George Fleiss, Charles Kaufman, Milton Simon, I haven't got Stuart. I didn't call your name out, did I? Did I? Oh, yes, I did, yes.
David
Kevin was late. Now, I haven't got Historia Gutman, isn't here? Somebody said he was coming.
He was unable to come. I saw him.
He was unable to come.
He gives his apologies.
Dr. Cohen is in New York. And then Siegel didn't arrive today.
His son is just back in the hospital, so that may
be. Is he better?
Yeah.
Yes, he's out of the hospital.
He's out of
the hospital. Oh, good. All right.
Is part of what you're saying have to do with Masa Elvis and Mabon?
No. It does. I'm sorry. Yes, I didn't think of it. Of course it could work out that way.
The actions of the father is an indication of what they chose.
But I've taken the example of longevity. Okay, the facts are, I can't go against the facts. Those are facts.
Not individual facts.
But look here, that's the way it works out. The insurance people work like that. That's your whole business is like that, isn't it?
I think that those particular questions are more historical. I don't think they look at that very seriously today. I don't think our policy even asks those questions. Our application, certainly not the grandfather.
It's because today they work on a different thing. They live the average life of the white male in South Africa, in California, is 70.30 years or something.
Can they distinguish white from black? They look more at the medical information than I don't think that's used very much. At one time, though, it was probably more so.
Use it tremendous, but the fact is, but it's true. It's true.
Well, that there's a positive correlation, no doubt.
Yes, it's true. But so if it's true, and it clashes with the Torah, then something wrong here. Then either it's not true, and the Torah is true, or it's true, and I'm not understanding something about Torah. So which is the likelihood?
Second,
it's true, and that there's something that I've got to find out what it is that I don't understand from the Torah. So we've just got to get that right. Yes.
But who our parents are and how the souls come down, that's very much after that's right. That's a connection.
Yes, but still it doesn't seem to be fair.
Why would you say fair and not fair when it's determined by Hashem? Why the soul goes into what hereditary characteristics?
Well, I want to know why. Why does my soul go into parents who, to me, they were both very good looking. But let us say, well, not so. I'm not good looking. Who are not good looking. And we've got longevity. Why should my soul go into them? And I had two friends in South Africa, and I came back when I was overseas. I came back and I met them and all that. And then a few years later, one died in the summer, another one died, and it was a repetition of the parents also died very young. they will do the same thing and die the same thing. It doesn't seem somehow to be it's a very interesting, if it doesn't worry you, then you don't have any sleepless nights about it. But if it does worry you, it's a very interesting thing. And the Torah discusses it. The Torah discusses it as it does, as it discusses everything. You must understand it. What does the Torah say about it? Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
A few things that I want to cover tonight, and with your assistance I'll be able to do it. First of all, there's the question of kinyonim, you know, shifus and the kinyonim of this. So I want to we are working on several fronts. One of the fronts we are working on is that you get a derech in learning. It's some kind of an approach to it, one of the fronts. Another of the fronts we are learning is to give you knowledge. And that is the reason why I chose Kesubas, because there are so many subjects that come into it, so it widens it out. Another, we do working on depth. So we are working on several fronts. We are working on an understanding of what in California they call philosophy. I don't call it philosophy. It's Torah, and it's understanding the deeper workings of the Torah. And so we are working on a number of fronts. I'll probably be reducing the fronts, I won't be reducing the fronts, I will be changing the emphases, more emphasis on the Gemara, the ground of the Gemara, covering the ground of the Gemara, and a little bit less about the explanations of it. But tonight I've got to go on to the explanations of it. There are a few things that I just want to round off with you before I leave the subject, so you've got a whole subject, you've got an idea of it. But before I begin with any of that, I want to do the Gemara, and in the Gemara there are a couple of things that I would like you to know about. And it starts off with this piece of Gemara. This is a Mishnah. The Mishnah starts off like this is a whole Mishnah. Ro or Oson Rotzin Achar Metzio. One person, it's not in that Gemara, it's a different Gemara altogether. A person sees them running after a Metzio, after a fight.
Sees
people running after the find. So if they are running after the find, what does it tell us about the find?
That's valuable.
Oh, pardon?
Then it would be very valuable.
Well, they are running off.
The bears.
No,
that's alive.
Yeah. Then it's alive. They're running after
it.
They're running after it. So the Mishnah gives an example. Achat Svi Shavu. After a limping deer, and a deer is kosher.
Even if it's limping, you can bring it at the Baal Mul to...
No, you can't bring it to the... Well, in any case, you can bring it to a shochet, but it depends where the limp is, what it is. It might just be a sprain, it might be a fracture very low down in which it can still be kosher. It depends where it is, you see. So after the limping tzvi, Achal goes lo shelo porchu, after pigeons that can't fly, their wings have been clipped. So they're jumping, you know. And he's running after them. He's standing and he sees them running after them. Now a very interesting thing happens. He is standing next to his field, or in his field. It's a big field. And he sees them running, and the limping deer is going through his field. So he says, Zoch so li sodi, may my field acquire it for me. May my field acquire it for me. They are still running after the deer. The deer already goes out the other side of the field, and they catch up with the deer, and they catch him. He takes a slow walk across. He says, gentlemen, thank you very much. How much must I pay you for your trouble? So what do you mean? What trouble? He says, it's my sleep.
Even though it's left his field.
Doesn't matter.
Hot pursuit law. What a
it means, so we. It's a type of kinyan. You see what's happened here?
They have no kinyan by the fact that they're already engaged in the...
Well, they trespassed on his field in the first place by coming across.
No, that is, it's an open field. I mean, that's not so serious. That isn't so serious. But I gave you a very extreme case. But as soon as the Tzvi reaches his field, he says, Zoch so li so li. It is by my field acquired for me, yes?
Is it because he says it or because it's on the field?
Oh, it's got to be in the field. If he says, Zoch so li so li.
No, but if he wasn't there and he didn't see it,
we'll be coming to that. We'll be coming to that. Or if he says, Zoch so li so li, then his field, I'm now using words, he saw there is co-near the field for him.
Does he need aid?
Oh, pardon? No, he doesn't need. Aid him is only, in this case, aid him is only if it's in dispute. But let us say the people who ran after him said, look, okay, this is right. This is what happened. We're not disputing the facts. The facts are there. We want to know what the law is. We're not disputing the facts. Aiding, you need witnesses if there's disputing the facts. What happened? Was he there? Did he say it? Did the field? That is all we need worry about. It's fine. Yes.
Will seven tape recorders and three men make a minion?
Yes. So, says the Mishnah, Zoch so lo, it requires it. Now comes the corollary to that. That is difficult. Hoyo tzvi rots gedarko, hoyo gozlos matzlichim. If it was a deer that was running normally, and the gozlos and the pigeons were running after it, the omer zoch so li sodi, and he said, may my field acquire it for me, no omer klum, he doesn't say anything at all.
There has no validity, there's no
focus to this. Yes. Now, I just want to explain this to you, so you get to the Gemara explains it. I don't want to go into the details of it. I want you to get some idea of what this is about. Now, what happens here is, if it is a limping deer, or pigeons with their wings clipped, there is one condition already here. There are two conditions. I'll come to the second one in a moment, where his field can acquire it for him. It is if he were to run after that deer, he would catch up with it before it got out of his field again. If he were to run after the pigeons, he would catch up with them before those pigeons got out of the field again. And then he says, Zoch so li so li, may my field acquire it for me. His field is acquiring it for him. But if it's a Tzvi Rots Gedalko, it's just running through, and he can't possibly catch up with it. Or there are pigeons flying through, he can't say it. It's only if it is a Tzvi Shavur, and if it is gozlos that are unable to fly. Is that clear?
One question.
Oh, yes?
Just having deer as one animal, I can relate to.
Are you pardon?
I said deer is the one animal that I can relate to. And see.
You see them? Yes, we've been there.
But if you saw a deer coming in, the person started running after it, it's quite possible we just turn around and leave where it entered.
No, it won't. It's going through the other side.
It's got people behind.
It's running through. It's running away.
Well, okay. If it kept running in a direction through the entire field, then the man might be able to catch it. But what if the deer, a deer could easily turn around and go the other way?
Or well, if you've seen a deer doesn't react like that. If a deer is being chased, he knows that the straight line is the quickest way he can get away. That's what he knows. He won't change his direction unless there's something in the way there. Then he changes his direction. You know a lot about deer, but I know a little bit about deer.
I don't know about
Does it make any difference to the if he I just leaves the field through a gate or jumps over
a
fence?
Oh, a gate is a difference. There's a fence. I'm speaking, there's no fence. It's an open field. But
if he jumped over a fence or went through a gate, it would make a difference.
Yes, I'm just a mistake. It would be like that. Charles?
In the most simple case, if the owner says, let my field acquire it for me, and he sits back in his chair, lights his pipe, the man, meanwhile, chased the deer, catch up with it a half mile down the road beyond his field. Then he walks over, sees they've caught it, walks on down the road and says, thank you very much. Are we saying that he has acquired it? And they're now through his field and beyond, a mile beyond.
It belongs to him. That it belongs to him. His field has acquired it.
So what if the man in the field before said the same thing and the same thing?
There's no dispute about the facts. Mm-hmm. It is a deer from Hefka. It doesn't belong to anybody before. You follow? You follow, George? There's no disputing of the facts. Yes, sir.
Did you differentiate between the deer that limps and the one that doesn't?
Yes. Because as a deer that limps, the only reason why his field can be cone-headed for him is because if he were to chase that, he would catch up with it before it left his field.
Were he to chase it.
Now, why am I doing this Mishnah with you? Because I am really introducing you to something. If I sell my watch, and you've got to make a kinyan, you've got to acquire it, and you can only acquire it by a tangible act. The tangible act for the watch is to pick it up. You've got to pick it up and then it becomes yours, not otherwise. There must be a tangible act. Now, you are accustomed, this is a tangible act. If I sell you a house, I go into the house and I repair something there, I get Charles to repair it for me there. But I do something to the house. As soon as I do that, that is the kinyan, but there must be a tangible act. I am introducing you now to a more abstract kinyan. You follow what I'm doing here? I'm introducing, that is all. I've made one condition with you, which comes up later in the tomorrow, that it's got to be that normally you can catch up with it. Now the Gemara said, the Hushe Omeid Betzad Sodeu, it's only if he is standing near his field. Only then. You follow? The Hushe Omeid Betzad Sodeu. Why? The Hushe Omeid Betzad Sodeu. Now, the Gemara then asks a question, and the Gemara asks a question and says, what would be the position if he's not standing by the side of the field? What would be the position if he doesn't even know about it? Is his field tole for him or not? So the Gemara says, we have got a statement by Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Hanino, that a chotzer of a person, a chotzer is a yard or a courtyard of a person, acquires an object for him even if he doesn't know about it. So here, why do we have that he's got to stand next to it? Answers the Gemara, Hani mili bechotzer amishtameres. That is only if it's a chotzer that is fenced in. But we are speaking about an open field. So a chotze that he spins in acquires for him, even if he doesn't know about it. Tony lo afilu shelo midato.
We have an essential difference between chaser and sedeh, just that the principle also of size of chaser and size of sedeh.
No, that doesn't matter so much.
Maybe upstairs.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
And the fact that the chaser would be near his home and would be smaller, and the field would be out someplace and larger.
You can see that we're using the chotze for mishtameres and the sode for inner mishtameres.
Okay, so it is following.
Yeah, you see? So the sode, if it's a field, an open field, it can be konefon only if he's standing there and he says, zochsoli sori. But if it's his chotze, for example, if a tzvi went into his chotzer, you know what a chotzer is now, into his courtyard, fenced in, it's fenced in. He got into his courtyard, and it's a tzvi of Hefker, doesn't belong to anybody, it's out of the, from the field. He got into his chotzer, and somebody saw it going in, and went into the chotzer and took it out. And then told the person, he said, you know, this tzvi went into your chotzer and went out. I don't know what the law is. Come, let us go and find out. They go to what the textbooks call the competent rov, and the rov says, no, it belongs to the person in the YouTube's chotzer it is. He says the other one, he didn't even know about it. Did you know something? He said, no, I didn't know about it. But it's koni lo afilu shelo midato. It acquires that even if he doesn't know about it. Does that ring a bell? Does the idea ring a bell?
The katan that we were dealing with earlier.
Can you see the bell it rings?
Yes, it's
Zochi lo lo odom shelo befonim. So what is the chatzeir? The chatzeir now is a shaliach of the person. Can you, are you following what I'm saying? The chatzer is the courtyard, or the yard. So it becomes, I'm trying to get you to think in more abstract terms, you see. First of all, that you've got the type of kinyan where the sode can be the kinyan.
No, I didn't get the response connection, brother. But
this says, the yard of a child is coming up.
That's right. Same idea. So, we've got, first of all, I'll use the English words. A field of a person can acquire an object for him, provided he is standing next to the field, and provided that if he wanted to, he could reach that object before he left his field. And then he says, I want my field to acquire it, it acquires one thing. But he's got to stand next to it. Two conditions. He's got to be next to his field. And the second condition, if he wants to catch up with it, get it, he could go in and he could get it before it would leave his field. That's...
Isn't the second reason, because of the second reason, the first reason must be there.
What, which is that?
If he could run after and catch it, then he must be in
the fire. Yes, all right, but the first reason could be without the second one. He could be there, but if he were to run after, he wouldn't catch it. Because, for example, it's not a tzvi shabu, it's tzvi rotz gedalka. It's a deer that's running normally. No. Then he can't catch up.
I'm just saying, if you could state that, you could state the second reason, and that would be sufficient. No, it wouldn't.
It's two different things. It's two different things. You see, he's got to make it a chotzer amishtameres. Yeah. It's got to make it that it's got to be by the side. Now, yes.
The chaser mishtameres applies also to a tzvi rotz gedarko.
If a tzvi rotz, if it, yes, that's right. If okay, it comes it into that, off. Yes, if it can, comes oh. into that. Now, but if, yes, Daniel?
What if he's mistaken? Some pigeons, some birds will fake a broken wing if they're young or nearby. And yes. When they're approached, when they're chased, they'll, as soon as they're far enough away from their nest, they'll fly away.
You so?
So I was wondering if
Do they belong to anybody, those pigeons?
Well, he thinks that he can catch up to them, but in reality he won't be able to.
Well, I mean, this is a question of facts. You see, you've got to establish the facts. I'm dealing with principles.
Also,
I'm dealing with principles, and principles assume certain facts exist. If the fact, then I've got to work differently with it, then I've got to, under the circumstances, how do I work? But I just want to take, I want to get the principles right, so we work with the facts that we have. This is the fact that if he were to chase it, he could catch up with it. What would be the position if he thinks he could catch up, but in reality he can't catch up? That's a specific case. I'm speaking about a general case in order to get a general principle. You follow, Daniel? Yes.
I was going to mention that he's talking about a gozal. A gozal, by definition, cannot be a bird that has young because it is the young itself.
Yes.
Okay, so therefore your hypothesis wouldn't hold.
Phil?
Rabbi, did you say that the same applies to the deer that can run?
Now, a deer that can run, because then he can never catch up to.
Yes.
So therefore it doesn't apply. If it's a deer running through.
Something to professor
here about it. Professor asked, what would be if the chotzer would be enclosed?
Oh.
And the deer managed to get into it.
Oh, I see. Oh, then
it's its
character. It applies to a healthy deer.
Yes, you see, that is adequate. Right. So now we see, here we've got a din of chotzer. Chotzer, you follow? That the chotzer of a person is konelo shelo midato, even without his knowing it. Stuart, you understand what I'm saying? If it's enclosed, and a deer would come in, it's my enclosure, even if I don't know about it, it becomes mine, because my chotzer is konelo. So it's exactly the same thing that if you go to my bank and deposit $100 in my name, that $100 becomes mine. But I don't even know about it. But you, the chotzer acts on my behalf. So that is the principle also of zochin le'odem shelo b'fonav. That is, I can make a person acquire something even if that person isn't aware of it.
What if the result isn't just to your detriment?
Excuse me, just one moment, yes?
There's a difference here, though, in that the Mishnah there in Bava Metzia, it's not anybody actually putting it in your chotzer. Over here we're talking about somebody who's actually doing it for you.
Yes, that's true. That's true. It makes it a little bit easier. It's true. We'll come to that. But anyway, that is the principle on which we are working. Have you got the idea?
Solving you another problem.
Just one moment, excuse me, yes?
What is the result if this thing, whatever it is, an animal, becomes yours, and you don't know about it, and it happens, I imagine it's easier to imagine with an animal somehow, that the animal does something which could make you obligated in some way for damages. It does something.
Well, look, it's a case that we've got to go into. It doesn't affect our principles. I just want to discuss the principle of kinyan and zochin lovish urdum lovifonah. That's all I want to discuss with you.
The problem is that I can understand that the animal enters the chaser mishtamerit by its random wandering. It's looking after a place to graze that you can put a claim on. Let's say that Reuven has a chaser and Shimon is chasing, is hunting the deer because he wants to catch it. And Shimon chases the deer into Reuven's chaser. Now, who owns the deer?
Reuven.
Reuven owns the
deer. Yes. Now, you see,
no longer
you've got to understand. I'll give you two other cases where it's not code.
But he wants it to go to
the first day of your
child. Yes.
Let us assume we are walking, and you see a watch, and you say, "Oh, that's my! I've found a watch," and I run quickly and I pick it up. Whose watch is it?
Yours.
It's my watch. Why? Because re'ia, seeing, is not a kinyan.
Okay.
You follow? Seeing isn't a kinyan.
Okay.
The, the debt you've got to the
agate,
okay, really is another law. There's another law, and that is, if we are walking on the Wilshire Boulevard, and one of us sees a watch, and I run and I fall on the watch, fall on it, and you come and you take the watch out from under my tummy.
I would never do that to you.
I know you wouldn't do it. I know you wouldn't.
I pick you up first.
And I take it from under, and you take it from under my tummy. It's your watch, it's not mine. Because falling on it is not a kinyan. Habor or is a kinyan? Habor is a kinyan. Now, you follow.
Habor, I have another question.
You get me finished, this, and then you get it. Habor is a kinyan. Picking up is a kinyan. But falling on it, that is not a kinyan. Now, I'm taking you a little bit further just to give you the workings of it. If you don't remember all these things, I'm not concerned. I want to introduce you to the type of thinking. It's a more, we are dealing with concrete things and abstract ideas, as how abstract ideas affect concrete things. I want to give you a take a little bit further. The Chachomim made a takona. Do you know what a takona is? They instituted a rule. They instituted a... They made a an amendment. What did you say?
Enactment.
Enactment is very good. They instituted an enactment. What is the enactment? That the four amas of a person are kodesh for him. Amas is four amas. So that is four amas there, and four el, an amor is about 18 inches. Let's just take it to be 18 inches. So it's about 6 feet. So 6 feet, 6 feet, and 6 feet. Anything that is in those 6 feet of mine, that belongs to me. They made it a court. That belongs to me. Now, there's no law in the Torah that says that. But they made that a court. Why did they make that a corner? They made that a corner so that it shouldn't come to Karl Kerpodling. Professor Vyasa and I walk in the street, and I fall on the watch, and Professor Vyasa takes it out from under my tummy, and it isn't mine, you see. So they made it a corner that I don't pick it up with a ball, but with what do I pick it? With what am I telling it? With Dalad Amas. Now, from where do they get this idea of Dalad Amas?
Forget about Abraham Avinu.
From where do they get this? They made a takuna. From where do they get the idea? From Chotzer. From Chotzer. If there is such a thing that a person's chotzer can be kone for him, not only can his chotzer be kone for him, but his sode can be kone for him, then, as they say in England, the Chachomim are not sucking it out of their thumb. They've got a basis for it. There's a basis for it. What is the basis for it? Chotzer, sode is the basis for it. If Chotzer can be a kinyan, then they can make Dalad Amas is also a kinyan. You follow?
I do follow, but I don't think it would be too extreme to ask. I hope I'm nothing too picky. Two people walking together.
Yes.
If a watch is in front of them, it's going to come into each of their...
Then they share it.
That's right.
We are not speaking where the facts are being disputed.
Okay.
You follow? We're not speaking where facts are being disputed. There's no disputation of facts. We want to know what the law is. Yes?
Well, I want to know how the analogy applies between the principle and the concept.
I'm coming to that. Now, one third of it. when the Chachomim made the Tachon, that the four amas of a person are kilne for him, they said, but not in Rishus or Rabbi. That means, I said Wilshire, yeah. Not in Wilshire, not on Wilshire. But where can it be? Now, in those days, they used to have what would be the equivalent here, in part, I suppose it's in part of Los Angeles too, although I haven't seen it. One would go to a house, and you've got the street here, then you've got what you call the sidewalk here, is that correct? Mm-hmm. Now, the house isn't on right on the sidewalk as it is in Europe, but there is a lawn, a little bit of lawn, and then there is the house. They instituted that those four others can help only on the side of the Rishus HaRabi, but not in the Rishus HaRabi. Because in the Rishus HaRabi, in the public thoroughfare, there are so many people walking there that you can't make a law that he's done it, Amos is going with him, it becomes impossible. So it's only in the Tide Rishus HaRabi, on the side of the Rishus HaRabi, that this can help, but not in the Rishus HaRabi. So you've got this law here. Now, we're coming now to, so we've got a principle that the chotzer of a person can be kolev for him. That is, my property can be kolev for me. David wants to know what that has got to do with the gay of cotton. I want to explain to you what it's got to do with the gay of cotton. We were in difficulty with the gay of cotton. Who is, how does it, so we say the way it works is that the Bezdin are the ones who really do it for him. The Bezdin is the one. So we said it is the same principle that if a man takes money and puts it into the bank on my account, that money becomes mine. Because he is acting as my agent. The Chotzer acts as my agent, and so it becomes mine. And if it's a Chotzer HaMishtameres, that means it's a Chotzer that if the lost article comes in, it can't walk out of there. It is in a guarded place. We say that then, even if I don't know about it, it also becomes mine. So the Kotzer, although he doesn't know anything about it, but the Beis Din is zecher for the cotton. You remember that is the way that you were telling me, did it? But the Beis Din does it on behalf of the cotton, that the Beis Din does it. What is the basis on which it works? The basis on which it works is the same as cotton. That is what the Tosfos means up at the top of the Tamo. The Chiyo Havi Mitam Shlichas. The chivat zechusad la'anan sahadi, the ovid le'shliach, ki demucha b'peira kamad of Mzir, gabi chotzer mishum yadiz b'roa boi, v'lev gora mishlichus. So this is the way it works. Now I want to take it a little bit further. It says in the Torah, as follows. You some idea of how these kinyonim work. Should a man take unto himself a wife and live with her, and he finds in her something that doesn't please him, because there's been a question of unfaithfulness, he shall write her a bill of divorcement. Right? Then, the no son the yodo, and he shall put it into her hand. What is the kinyan?
her taking it into her hand?
The yad is the kingdom. He puts it into her hand. She doesn't pick it up, but he puts it into her hand, and then the yad becomes the kingdom. The chotzer is an extension of the yad. That is the way we work. Chotzer, the yard, the idea of the yard, the courtyard, is an extension of the yard. The sode belongs to that. The dalet amos all belongs to that principle. So that is what Tosfos means when Tosfos says, yeah, when Tosfos says, the table de hoz de chiyu ahavi mitam shlichus, the chivens is chusu la anan sade de ovid lai shlichi mu bekam rebo, gabi chotzer mishum yadi saboi. Chotzer is because of yad. Is because of yad. And it's not worse than shlichus. And shlichus we also know from the Torah. So I'm just giving you some idea of how all this works out. George, are you with me?
I'm with you, but
what's worrying you?
Well, it's not worrying me, but there's a very fundamental difference in the nature of the shaliach.
Yes.
On the one hand, this field is an extension of a person's self.
Yes.
Owned by the base bin is totally extraneous to the child. So it's the nature of the agent is quite different in the two cases.
Yes.
It's more logical that one's field can acquire something for oneself than that base bin, which is completely extraneous.
Yes, that's quite right. Yes, that's quite right. But now it works like this. The Torah takes it. Where it says, the shilcho mi beiso, we've got the Torah Shebar Peh, which says, and he sends it to her. So a person has got the right to send a get also to a woman. She has got the right to send somebody to receive the get on her behalf. So when that person receives the get on her behalf, it comes into her hand, into that person's hand. Really, that person could do it without the knowledge of the woman even, and she would become divorced. The only reason he can't do it is because it's not to her advantage. It may be to her disadvantage. But were it to her advantage, she could do it. Now you've got to put the various things together. We can see that yad is a kinyan. We know shlichus is a kinyan. So if the man puts it into the hand of her shaliach, of her agent, her shaliach takes it, and when he takes it, it becomes hers. It's the same as if it is hers. The only reason that we've got to have her to appoint him is because it's to her disadvantage. But if it wouldn't be to her disadvantage, she'd be able to do it without it. In the same way as a chotzer can be tone, even if the person who owns the chotzer doesn't know about it. That is, I don't want you to have to go into all the details of it because we're not ready for that. But I want to give you some idea of the workings of it. Yes, Philip.
So the chotzer of the Kohen,
unless he wants it to be. For example, if a white elephant goes into my... who wants a white elephant?
Especially if he goes out on the street and hits somebody.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
No, but he's not saying at any point.
Then it's not to his advantage. If it's to the same principle, talking over here, only if it's to his advantage. If it's not to his advantage, then he's not telling it. But what I want you to understand is how the kinyonim works. And now I'm just going to show you something else.
And it's taken me a long time to decide whether I should give you this or whether I shouldn't give you this. Because this has not got to do with the Gemara, this has got to do with the something else. Milton, thank you very much. For my watch, the kingdom is hard born. Let's pick it up. I don't want you to think it's a symbol. The usual idea is it's a symbol. I pick it up, it symbolizes. I don't like working with symbols. We haven't got symbols in Turkey. A symbol is not a reality. I put it up and I say, well, that represents that. It's not a reality, you see. We deal only, the Torah deals only with realities. When I pick it up, it causes what we call a chalos. How do you, a chalot. How do you translate that into English?
I understand. I know what you mean exactly. Now we share the problem. It causes something to apply to.
Will
generate an applicability.
It causes like if I put in a seed into the ground. I put the seed into the ground. It will stay there. It will stay there until Mashiach comes. I mean, but I take water and I put water on it, it starts, it causes a chemical reaction, causes something to happen. If I don't do anything, it won't cause anything to happen. The kingdom causes something to happen here. What happens? It is a change of ownership takes place. It's a change of ownership, but it is something that happens with the kingdom. It's not just that it's a sign of mine. When I take it into my hand under these circumstances, there is a change of ownership that takes place. Now, I just want to warn you about that, because one day it'll come up and it'll be of much consequence, but when we speak, person wears stitches. It's blue. So it is. Sea is blue. Now, where does the blue come from? The sea. See? Things of the blue of heaven. Things of the blue of heaven, things of the Kisei Yaakovet, things of the Ribbono Shleilam. So the tzitzit is making things of the Ribbono Shleilam. The Ribbono Shleilam gave the Torah, so you remember to keep the Torah. It's not quite as simple as all that. Not just a symbol. This actual, the tzitzis, the wearing of the tzitzis, the seeing of the tzitzis, has an effect on him. It has effect on his character. That is what it does. What effect can it have on his character? We can't experience, we can't see the effect on the character. As I told you, and I'll speak to you later again, there are many things that we don't know what's happening. A man, suddenly, I discover he's got cancer of the lung. I say, did you smoke? He said, I've never touched a cigarette in my life. How did you get it? Pollution. So what pollution? He said, where I live, the air. I said, so why didn't you get away? Why do you wait till you get the cancer? He said, you think I knew that it was being polluted, that I was getting it? When I became aware of it, I had it already. So does it mean nothing was happening in the meantime? Nothing was taking place? For years this has been taking place already. It's been working in him. Now that is pollution. When you deal with ruchnias, this is an effect it has upon the person. But I don't want to take that subject any further, right? Just let us leave that alone. But I just want you to know, don't try and say,
work in the Torah working with symbols. Symbols are not reality. Anything in the Torah is reality, and this has an effect on the person. What's the matter, though? Hmm?
Just wondering with the watch, you were talking about the... Is a kingdom necessary to change ownership?
Yes.
Now, let's say that you and I entered into a writing.
Yes.
You handed me a piece of paper.
Well, a piece of paper that's also a kingdom.
A piece of paper?
Yes, it's a document. No, then the, you take it, you've got to take hold of it as a piece of paper, or it's got to be signed. Or, then, yes, but that's also a kingdom. That's another form of kingdom. There are any number of kingdoms. But I'm just giving you some idea of what the kingdom is. Yes, David.
I don't want to sound like I'm nitpicking, but either. But it seemed to me that the Torah, in its way that it's written, has got to be representing things. If you have a word, it's not the real thing. It's representing something else. It's representing what's in the reality.
Well, you see, it's good that you played right into my hands. It was the best example that you could possibly give. There is a being. What happens? A person is a tinok shenishba b'ena'ak. Doesn't know it. I still met what was known as a Nikolaevske soldat. Ever heard of a Nikolaevske soldat?
Cantonist. He's called Russell Cantonist.
A Nikolaevske soldat. What was a Nikolaevske soldat? This was before the First World War, but well before the First World War. They used to get people to serve in the permanent army of the Tsar. They used to catch children off the street and put them into the permanent army of the Tsar and train them there. And they spent 30 years in the army, 20, 30 years in the army. Catch them off the street. Now, I don't know whether you've ever heard of the term Mossur, a Masur. What is a Masur in English?
Worse than that is a Mossur, but a Masur is somebody who has been turned over, who has been betrayed to the to the people who catch them.
Yes. He's a Mossur, but they've used the term Mossur for him. So you had Jews, and this was the worst type of Jew that you could possibly have. Yes. You had a type of Jew who a town had to have a certain number of Jews to give to the army. He used to get the poor children, you see. And he used to get paid by the rich to get the poor. The worst type of person. In fact, I've been told of a case, I'm not going to mention any names, where in a certain town a man was doing this, and the rabbi passed a death sentence on him. Of course it was carried out. I passed the death sentence. That's the only time I've ever heard of it. No, this is Russia. We have modern times.
Probably does a rabbi have the authority to do that with other times? We don't have a Sanhedrin, we don't have.
It comes under quite a different category.
Mosul
comes under quite a different category. I mean, you can imagine how far we go. And this was put into effect in the war. You know, what they call the Holocaust has been distorted so completely, This Rabbi Haya is busy. He's had a film done in which. What's her name? Elizabeth Taylor
is taking a very important part in this. It's she's speaking, being the spoken part, and in which it portrays what happened to religious Jews. The Kiddush Hashem on the part of religious Jews, this has been completely wiped out of the records. We haven't heard anything about that. And he told me, Rabbi Haya told me, that when he asked Elizabeth Taylor what her fee is, she was so overcome by all this, she said, for this I won't charge anything at all. She refused to take it. It should be, I think they're showing it in Washington in February. It's going to be shown, the preview is going to be in Washington. Now, when they came into the camps, where there were religious people there, and they said, we want 10 Jews, or 50 Jews, something went wrong with the camp, somebody, one of their gods were killed or something, we want so many Jews, if you don't give us these Jews, we will kill the whole camp. There were camps where the leaders decided, never in a Torah camp where there were Torah Jews. The answer was according to the Din of Gomorrah. The answer is, kill us all. But where's the mathematics of it? It's bad mathematics. But it's perfect morality. It's perfect Torah. And we live by Torah, we don't live by mathematics. Please excuse me, Professor. We don't live by mathematics, we live by Torah. And if there's a conflict between Torah and mathematics, we take Torah, we don't take mathematics. Yes?
What if 10 young men would volunteer?
In what?
What if 10 young men would volunteer to go? Rather than the whole community.
We won't do anything at all. We will never hand over a person. That's a mosque.
But if they would volunteer,
that's another thing.
Right?
That's the Kiddush Hashem were there.
That's another thing. That is, they want to do, that is another thing. But we would not. We are not allowed to do it. The din is we are not allowed to do it, and we would never do it. You follow? And if there is a Jew in the camp, and the Jew says, I say these are the names he gives, these are the names you can take, and he gives these names, that Jew is a Mosul. And he's got a deal, you can put him to death. He's got no right, no Jew has got the right to do it. The only exception is, let us say that in amongst these people there's a murderer. And they say, we want one person, and this is a murderer. Then you can do it. You decide this is a murderer or a morsel. There is a morsel amongst them. That is a person you can give over. No, but that is an
animal.
I must say, we call him a morsel. I don't know why. I
think I know why. Musrim or talk.
Maybe. But he's called a morsel. I don't know why. And it's possible that it's, strictly speaking, it should be a morsel. But that is, he's called a morsel. You follow, I'm just giving you what the way these things work. These things work. That is the way it is done. You were the one who asked me the question.
Well, yeah, but the question I asked was in reference to how you were pointing out that Torah only deals in reality. And
yes, and you said the words itself.
The words themselves are representation.
There is a deal. What happens if a person is a Tina Chinish Babayla? His eyes still saw a Nikolaevska soldier. When I was in Helsingfors, there was an old Jew there. He didn't know a thing. Yes. Couldn't daven even. But Kaddish you could say. And they told me that the highlight of the Yom Kippur service was
when this one Jew said Kaddish all on himself. Nobody else said Kaddish. He said the Kaddish. And what he put into that Kaddish, that's the only thing he ever knew. Didn't know anything else. Never been taught anything. He was snatched away as a child. Obviously he had lost a parent, and they taught him how to say the Kaddish, and this is the only thing he knew, it's the only thing he remembered. I still met a few like that. Very, very old, still from the Nikolaevsky Soda. Now, there is a deen that if a person is a Timothy Shobinath, that type of person, see, taken when he was a child, what can he do? He comes and he says to him, doesn't know a word of what it's all about. He learns Mishnah, doesn't know what it's all about. That in itself has that. That in itself has that. But he doesn't know what he's saying. What kind of value is it? What kind of value is it? Doesn't know what he's saying. On the Olam HaEmes, he will know what he's saying. Then he will know. But his work has done something towards it. In the Torah itself, if there is one letter that's not quite right, I had it in a Sefer Torah the other day, a shin. There was a crack that went right through the shin. The whole Torah, the Sefer Torah, you can't use. But it's what every letter means. And when I see that letter, and when I see that word, and this word has been written by a man, and he prepared the quill, and he prepared the ink, and he prepared the parchment, and he writes each letter, and as he writes each letter, he knows what he is doing. This is a word that has been given from Hashem, and he writes it down. And I see that word, and my eye sees it, and it goes into my sight. You think it remains in my sight? It goes into my brain. And from my brain it goes into my mind. In all that purity, I don't realize what effect it has on me. But it has an effect on me. Pollution, we don't realize what happens. But that I'll deal with a bit later. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
That's why it's so important that every word in the Torah, every letter in the Torah, a least little thing that's not right, that is no good. Have you got the idea? That is the way we look at it. Now, I just want to run a little bit through the idea in the Tosfos, and after that we've got to report progress in the day. You remember that Tosfos asked a question. You weren't here last week, but you remember the question that Tosfos asks. Tosfos asks a question and he says, we say, Madilina Soadas Bezdin Mishundas Chusuna. We cover him on the das of the Beis Din because it's a schus for the cotton to become a Jew, and zochin the odim shelo v'fonov. And although the cotton doesn't know what it is, but it is as a schus for him, it is to his advantage, and if it's to his advantage, the Beis Din can do it even if it's without his knowledge. Now, says the Gemara, but how can you do it for a cotton? Because the whole idea of Zochin Orim Shalom Befonov comes from the din of Shlichus. And there is no Shlichus for a cotton. A cotton cannot make a Shaliach. So, if you take it to its source, how does it work? Zochin Orim Shelo Befonov. How does it work? The Beis Din, how does it work? The Kotel appoints the Beis Din to be his shaliach, but he doesn't know what's going on. But we say, were he to know what is going on, and were he to know that it's to his advantage, he would want the Beis Din to do it. So the idea is an agent, the Beis Din is his agent, but of course we can't appoint an agent. So the Gemara, then the Gemara asks another question. He says, furthermore, this Kotel, is he a Jew or is he a Goy? He's a Goy. So how can a Goy appoint an agent to act for him to make him Jewish? How can he do that? How can it work? And Tosfos gives two answers, and it's good for us to know the two answers that Tosfos gives. Says Tosfos, Venire Lari, can you find it in the Tosfos, Venire Lari? Have you got it? Venire Lari. Somewhere down here, Venire Lari. Have you got it?
Before the Imtav?
After the Imtav, but oh, yes. Other than there's another.
Yeah.
Venire Lari, the Hochi Nami, the Zoch